Chapter 24. There were miracles on the road. At a snack bar at the top of Pike's Peak, I asked for real milk, not powdered, for my coffee. The waitress said they couldn't keep real milk on the top of the mountain, that it went bad. Something about the altitude. "Isn't that odd?" a woman said to me. She was at the table next to us, she and her husband. "About the milk. I ordered the exact same thing a minute ago. I couldn't help overhearing. Anyone but me up there on that mountain would have just looked over and seen an ordinary, friendly tourist couple. But it wasn't anyone else. It was me, looking right directly at my coffin picture people, Mr. and Mrs. J.J. Fickett from Tepid, Missouri. I even recognized Mrs. Fickett's polka dot halter top. She'd worn it in one of their series I'd developed. It was a powerful moment for me, one of the most powerful moments of my life, if I'd chosen to use it. "Why, Mr. or Mrs. Fickett," I could have said. "Have you been taking any more of your casket pictures lately?" They would have probably run screaming right off the mountain. Of course, I didn't. I didn't say a word, not even to Dante. How could I? Vida Marie would have passed her first birthday while we were on the road. One early morning, in a campground shower stall, I closed my eyes and saw her, heard her. So vividly, it felt like a visit. She was plain and real and had my eyes. A chubby, brown-haired little thing in red corduroy overalls. I felt the ribbing of the material. Smelled her smell. She took a step, then kaboomed backward to the floor, sitting in her own surprise. I closed my eyes against the spray and leaned to the wall, laughing out loud. Who'd sent me this gift? Ma? God? Vida Marie herself? On the return route through New Mexico and Arkansas and Tennessee, I only half noticed what was around me. I was more interested in what was ahead. I'd start up our house fund again, I decided, as soon as we paid off the trip bills. Dante and I might have our own home by 1981 or 82, and maybe a baby by the following year. Now that this trip was out of his system, now that school was starting up again. Dear Grandma, I can't believe I've gotten to see so much of the country. Remember back in high school when I was scared even to leave my bedroom? There's more to tell you about our trip than I can fit on a postcard. We're planning a visit this fall. I'll bring all our pictures. Dante and I are fine and happy. Love, D. Driving past the New England and East sign, Dante sighed and said he'd be glad to get home over with. "That's a strange way of putting it," I said. His jaw locked and his hands tightened around the wheel. We got back to Mount Pelier in late afternoon. The downtown streets were steamy and slick from a shower we'd just missed. Even shut up for 3 weeks, the apartment smelled good to me. I grabbed Dante as he walked in with our suitcases. "I love you, honey," I said, squeezing him tight. "Thank you for our trip."
"Too bad we're not still on it," he said.
Afterward, I sat sifting through old mail and newspapers and back-to-school circulars. "Well," I said, "8 more days for you and 2 more for me, and we're back to the grind." "Yep," he said. Then he snatched the keys to the van and disappeared until midnight. That was the first hint that Dante was keeping secrets, too. Well, one secret. One big one that was already a whole summer old.
"I guess I better tell you," he said.
I had just come back from shopping for his back-to-school clothes. He was standing next to me, not taking the bag with his 2 new shirts in it.
Tell me what?
I lost my job.
Lost it?
I sat down. The wind knocked out.
What do you mean?
They fired me in June.
In June? Why didn't you... What's going on?
He sat down and put his hands to his face. Ev Downs and his vigilante committee. They got me.
Dante, I still don't...
I said it all along, remember? That he'd get me if he ever got a chance? With his arm, he smeared the tears across his face. I wanted to just drive us away. To protect you from all the gossip. From that fishbowl where you work. But I'm exhausted from keeping it in. It fucked up the whole trip.
I took his hand and squeezed it to stop my own shaking.
Okay, I said.
Okay.
I was taking deep breaths.
Gossip?
About what? There's this kid, Sheila, all right? A student in my American Lit class 2 years ago. She was a senior this past year. Used to come around to talk about her problems, that kind of thing. So the last day of school, I'm sitting at my desk, correcting exams, and she comes into my room. It must have been 3:30, quarter of four. I thought I was the only one in the building. She said she wanted to talk to me. Boyfriend problems. She was confused. So we went for a ride out to Barry, to the quarry.
Just the two of you?
I was tired of correcting, he said. I needed to get out of that building. It was just a talk.
Then what happened?
He looked up at me.
What happened? He repeated.
Well, whose version do you want? Mine or the PTA cunt who decided to come forward a week after the fact about what she saw? He laughed bitterly.
Did I say fact just then? I meant fiction.
I wanted us to be in the van, 1,000 miles away from what I was hearing.
What did she tell them, Dante?
Let's just say I'm accused of breaching the sacred trust.
Dante, skip the fancy vocabulary and...
Kissing her, feeling her tits. According to this bitch, we had quite a time out there. He started to cry. I swear to God, Dolores, we were just out there. I never so much as touched the tip of her sleeve.
I thought I could hear the truth in his quivering voice. We were both in tears.
Hastings and my good buddy Ev called me into school the first week of vacation, introduced me to the board of Ed's attorney, this mutant asshole who looked like he just stepped off the set of Deliverance. They gave me two choices, a statutory rape charge or clean out my desk.
But why didn't you just tell me, Dante? Maybe I could have...
Could have what? He said. Overcharged one of my accusers down at the fucking Grand Union? Thrown their canned goods in the bag on top of the tomatoes? You realize what a public hearing would be like? How much fun it would be to see me skewered on the front page of the fucking Times Argus? I didn't tell you because I wanted to protect you from it, and because... Because I thought you'd believe... Now his crying came out as weird, strangled gulping. I sat down and hugged him, rocked myself against him. "We'll fight it," I said. They had me by the balls. I'm gone. I'm out of there.
But Dante, they can't just accept someone else's word without letting you defend yourself. What about the girl? Don't they believe her?
Who, Sheila? Sheila can't tell the difference between wishful thinking and reality. Sheila is officially confused about what went on.
I'll help you fight it, Dante. We'll get a good lawyer and...
You want to help? He said. Just stay out of it. Just let it alone. That's how you can help. take the fucking shirts back and get your goddamned refund. I've already talked to a lawyer. He says I might as well hang it up. Why? Just drop it. But what are you going to do? Take a rest for a while. Get my shit together. Then, I don't know. I guess I'll look for another job. Yeah, but that's exactly why you need to clear this up, honey. No school is going to hire you if they think they won't know about it. That was part of the deal they cut me. What deal? If I left quietly, didn't go to the union or anything, it wouldn't go on my record. No mess, no publicity. But they're forcing you to say it was true. It's the way I want to do it. Dante, you're not thinking clearly. I mean, here you are out of a job, and we go off and spend all that money on... Oh, Jesus, he said, you're too much. Well, Dante, what happens if you don't get another job right away? The payments on the van alone are... Do me a favor, will you? Just shut up. Go fuck yourself. Dear Grandma, you mentioned in your last letter that you almost forgot what I look like, so I'm sending you this picture of Dante and me taken on our wedding day. A friend of ours decoupaged it for us. Maybe you can put it up on the stair wall with the other family pictures. I promise we'll get down for a visit sometime before the fall is over, Grandma, but right now we're both so busy. I have this nice idea for when we do visit. Why don't you and I drive down to the beach and take a little walk? It's pretty down there this time of year, after all the crowds clear out. We'd have the whole beach to ourselves. Dante and I will probably have to come down on a Sunday and leave that same night, because I got a second job waitressing Friday and Saturday nights at the Lobster Pot, the place where we got married. They were able to juggle my schedule at the grocery store so I could swing both. It's a little hectic, but I don't mind. Whenever I get overtired, I just concentrate on the house Dante and I are saving for. One bad thing about being on my feet is that I'm getting varicose veins. Didn't Ma have them too? Oh, by the way, did I mention that Dante was taking a leave of absence from teaching for a little while? He wants to spend some time writing poetry. He's very talented. I got new curtains for the kitchen. Yellow Priscilla's. They look nice, except I hemmed them too short, by about an inch. Oh, well. Live with your mistakes, right? Love, Dolores. Dante's plan was to get his head together until springtime or so by writing poetry and reading his way through a list of classics he'd always meant to get to. He began sending his poems to magazines with freaky-sounding names. Each rejection slip they sent him shut him down for days. His reading program stalled early on when he couldn't get through Montaigne's essays, but he refused to leapfrog to the next book. If I didn't dilly-dally at the store on Friday afternoons when my shift was over, I had just enough time to vacuum and pick up before rushing down to the Lobster Pot in time for my setups. Dante meant to keep up with the housework, but he was suffering on and off from writer's block, he said, and couldn't create a proper internal environment if he had to worry about tidy bowling the toilet. He said he would have thought someone who'd been a watercolor artist herself could sympathize about the creative process, that next time around he'd look for a wife who wasn't anal retentive. I shut my mouth and cleaned. So how was work today? He always asked me, lying on the bed, stretching from his afternoon nap. He'd begun to be hungry for details about my co-workers, who he called the mental midgets. After a while, I withheld news. It felt like I was feeding him their lives. Oh, nothing much. How was your day? He followed me into the bathroom, peeling a banana. Depressing. I was just cranking up on a new poem when some dipshit called, trying to sell us a storage freezer. Writing is a lot like dreaming, you know. There's a subconscious connection. Once someone intrudes, it's like trying to go back to sleep to finish your dream. He yawned so wide I saw the chewed-up banana. At the sink, I scratched at a salad dressing stain that was still in my waitress uniform. I see you didn't get a chance to go to the laundromat after all, huh? He watched me with contempt while I climbed into my uniform, towel dabbed at the wet spot, struggled with a back zipper. "You know what I find depressing," he said. "Your love of whatever's perfunctory, your deep respect for the mundane." I told him I was late. He followed me out to the van. When I opened the door, he slammed it shut again. "Dante, I'm late." "Oh, excuse me, great important one. May I just ask one quick question? Why is it that every time I talk to you, I get more depressed?" "I'm sorry, Dante. I'm trying. We'll talk about it." "Whoopee," he scoffed. "Something to look forward to all evening." "Look, you said you didn't want to fight back when they accused you. Okay. I would have if it was me, but I respected your decision. Only now, you're always fighting me instead. It's just not fair." His eyes welled up. He went back in the house. I looked at my watch, got in and started up the van, then cut the motor again. I sat down on the bed next to him. "Dante," I said, "I know this is hard for you, honest to God. We can talk later, but right now I really have to go. If I'm not there to do setups, then Myrna, so go." I kissed his forehead and stood up, straightening myself. "I feel so ugly in this uniform," I said. "Do I look okay?" He answered without looking. "You're a vision in blue nylon," he said. "A frigging goddess in wedgies." In November, Dante cut off his beard and began a daily ritual that included crossword puzzles and word scrambles. I was pretty sure he was into the soaps, too. Sometimes when I'd come home from work, the TV was warm, and once I caught him humming the theme song to Days of Our Lives. In spite of his vegetarianism, he won us a free Thanksgiving turkey from the radio station for knowing who'd recorded the song Cool Jerk. But when I suggested we drive down to Grandma's with it, he said he'd prefer not to spend the holiday as traditionally as the fucking Waltons. I got in the habit of hand-washing whatever I'd worn to work that day, and Dante cut down his laundry by wearing the same thing every day, khaki pants, gray sweatshirt, and no underwear. His housework had whittled itself down to just dusting and baking, braided breads, and cream-rich desserts that he ate most of himself. He was usually too exhausted to tackle the dishes after supper, so that I had to soap and scour the dried-on batter and stack towers of bowls and pans onto the drainboard while he listened to National Public Radio or played with his Rubik's Cube. One afternoon, I got home from work just as he was coming out of the shower. I watched in amazement as he jiggled naked across the room. "What are you staring at?" he said. My eyes shot away from the overhang around his waist, the puckers in his rear end. I knew what fat and isolation could do, how they could turn you into a person you hated. "Nothing," I said.
"No, what? Tell me."
"Well," I said, "it just looks like you're putting on a little weight, that's all." He didn't speak to me for a week. "Dear Grandma, thanks for the support stockings you sent me and for the Christmas shopping money. I'm planning to use it for one of those down-filled maxi coats that everyone's wearing now. It gets cold up here in winter. The stockings really help. A woman I know at work had varicose veins so bad that she had to have an operation. They pull them right out of you, and it's real painful," she says. "Maybe someday I'll get a job where I can sit down at a desk all day with my shoes off and my feet up. I wish. We sold our van 2 weeks ago,
and bought a used Vega. It's got ripped-up seats, but the engine is good. We got $2,100 for the van. The dealer said we would have gotten more if Dante hadn't had an accident. This guy cut right out in front of him, but for some reason, the stupid cop gave Dante the summons. I put the difference, $1,375, in the bank. It's light green. The Vega, not the bank. Ha ha. I guess our visit will have to wait until after the holidays, Grandma, because there are a zillion Christmas parties booked at the restaurant, and I can't really say no to the overtime. January looks like a possibility. When I come down, can we go through the attic and look at some of Ma's and your old things? I'll let you try on my new maxi coat. I miss you and love you, Grandma. I think about you every day. Love, Dolores. We rang in 1980, sitting on bar stools in Boomer and Paula's living room, but left shortly after midnight, after Dante, drunk on Harvey Wallbangers, told Paula she reminded him of a car horn that had gotten stuck, and she told him she'd rather be a car horn than a child molester. Boomer and I got the coats. Mrs. Wing and Chadley were understanding about the hole Dante punched in our bedroom wall that night. On the ride home from the emergency room, Dante sobbed and told me I was the best thing that ever happened to him, and from that point on, he was going to prove it to me. The following afternoon, I took the ornaments off our little fake tree, while Dante sat at the kitchen table, scrawling his New Year's resolutions with his left hand, since his right one was in the cast. The penmanship wobbled diagonally down the page. Number one, think positive. Number two, lose weight. Number three, write at least one new poem a week. Number four, exercise. Number five, prove my love to D. What do you think? He asked me. Maybe you put down too many. Why don't you just work on one or two? His face hardened against me while he stared. Do you always have to defeat me? He said. Dante, he balled up his list and bounced the paper ball against my face. I'm not the one who fired you, I said. Stop it. He picked the paper ball off the floor and did it again. You do that one more time and I'll... You'll what? He said. He slapped me softly on the face. He was my father after all, doing to me what Daddy had done to Ma. I slapped him back, hard as I could. Get this straight, I said. I'm not your goddamn whipping girl. Don't you ever lay your hand on me like that again. By springtime, Dante's energy level suddenly, unexpectedly increased. He decided to revive both his garden out in the backyard and his reading of great books. He reorganized the kitchen cabinets, waxed the floors, and, with his spare energy, began a daily jogging regimen. A literary magazine called Zirconia wrote him that they were publishing one of his poems. Reawakening. That night he reached for me in bed. Now let's see if we can remember what goes where, he said. He was as kind and slow with me as he had been that first summer, and I pushed away all my anger and hurt and distrust because he owed me love. The worst of it's over, I thought, if we can lie together and be this way again. The warm gentleness began to collect itself around his slow fingers, and his kisses lost their feeling to that other, better feeling, and then I was there, releasing. Released. I reached down and guided him in. He started slowly, easily, and I wrapped my legs around him and hooked my ankles together against his back. He pumped faster and faster. His warm breath was in my face, his eyes open and looking at me. I reached out for his arm. Honey, I said, maybe we better... I haven't been renewing my prescription.
"This feels too good to stop," he said. "This feels like we're breaking a curse."
"I know, Dante, but if we don't..."
"If we don't," he panted.
"Stop,"
I muttered.
He pulled out, groaning. His penis bounced and jerked against my belly, and he laughed and watched his semen ooze and trickle down my side. He kissed my neck and eyelids. He wiped my belly with his frayed gray sweatshirt.
"George, if it's a girl, and Martha, if it's a boy," he said. "Jody, if it's a hermaphrodite."
"Don't joke about babies, Dante, okay?"
"I may not be joking," he said. "It's one of the things I've been thinking about lately. Babies and work."
We've outlasted it, I thought. But when I spoke, I was cautious.
"What do you mean?"
"I took this book out of the library. What Color Is Your Parachute? It's about career change. How would you like to be married to a social worker?" I wanted him to talk about the baby's part.
"What's a hermaphrodite?" I said.
"Hermaphrodite, not hermaphrodite." "It's one of life's ambiguities."
"Oh."
That weekend I lied and told the lobster pot I was sick. By Sunday morning, I felt so frisky and sure we were out of trouble that I decided to go with Dante on his daily jog. I lasted through warm-ups and the downhill swoop out our driveway toward town. But by the first incline, my lungs burned and a stitch pulled at my side.
"Go on ahead," I panted. "I can't make it."
I watched him get smaller and smaller all the way down State Street. On Monday mornings down at Grand Union, Tandy and I did the magazine racks together. One week that fall, Elvis Presley, dead over 3 years already, was suddenly on the covers of People and all the tabloids. The fat-faced Elvis. Elvis in white and spangles.
"What have they dug up on poor old Porky Pig now?" Tandy said.
I thumbed through the first paragraphs. "They arrested that doctor who supplied him all his drugs. It says Elvis was a pill addict."
"Big whoop," Tandy said.
All that morning, the fruit in aisle one seemed to vibrate with color. The fluorescent light on those shiny Elvis magazine covers made my head hurt. Something felt wrong. On my lunch break, I took copies of those magazines to the lounge. One article said Elvis's pigging out and pills was a kind of suicide, but that no one had read the signs, his calls for help. 2 weeks before he died, all the stories agreed, Elvis had swum up from a deep depression and begun a frenzy of racquetball and promises to his fiancée. Some psychiatrist in another article said it was a pattern, that people committed suicide just when their lives started on an upswing and you thought their problems were licked. Suicide required an enormous amount of energy, that doctor said.
"What's the matter?" Dandy asked. "You're all white."
"Tell Mr. Lamoureux I had to go home." I ran down Main Street, the very worst pictures flashing in my head. Dante lying in the bathtub in red water. Dante blue and hanging from the closet door. "Oh, please," I kept saying. "Please, God." By the time I reached the top of our hill, I knew every mistake I'd made with him, every single sign I'd missed. My key kept missing the lock, skidding off the metal. With both hands, I finally got it in and twisted. I ran through the apartment. They were sitting on the bed, watching TV. Dante was eating a hot dog.
"Hey," he said, choking on a mouthful. "What are you?"
She had long strawberry blonde hair, a roof of bangs that ended just over her big, scared eyes. She was sitting cross-legged, wearing a sweater, Dante's red down vest, underpants,
and knee socks. Dante had his shirt off.
If you're wondering why I'm eating meat, he said, it's an experiment. Runner's World says 2 or 3 days before a race, you should super-proteinize your system.
I looked from him back to her. You're Sheila? But she wouldn't answer. She's having a hard time at home. She needed to talk, Dolores.
With her pants off?
How long have you two been doing this here? Dante closed his eyes. To whom are you speaking? He said.
Whom? Shmoom! I screamed. Get her the fuck out of here!
She hopped toward the door, pulling on her jeans. When I heard the car doors slam, I ran out after them. Dante was backing out of the driveway, his head twisted around. She was staring at me, wide-eyed. I slung fistfuls of driveway gravel at them. The stones clicked and bounced off the windshield. Son of a bitch, I kept screaming. You son of a bitch! For the next few days, whenever the phone rang, I picked it up and slammed it back down again before he had a chance to speak. But he wouldn't stop trying. What do you want? I finally screamed into the receiver one night. Say it fast and then stop bothering me. We have to talk. Bullshit. I don't plan on talking to you for the rest of my life. I kept that promise for 6 days, then located him at his parents' house in New Jersey. There was a long wait before he got to the phone.
Yes,
he said. It's me, I said. Could you come back? I really need you. He didn't answer for a minute. Then he said,
look, I've been giving this a lot of thought. Maybe for the time being we should...
I just got a call. My grandmother died. I don't know what to do.